Hi, and welcome to TSN, the Reporters Podcast. I'm Dave Hodge with Bruce Arthur, Michael Farber, and Steve Simmons. Are we ready for too much football? Everybody, ready for too much football. Never mind the headlines that drag players into suspension, into court. It seems that the NFL all year round, and especially in week one, captures everybody's attention and nobody complains about a darn thing. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that we eat all of this football and then come back for more?
It's a great thing. We love the sport. It has become America's pastime and North America's pastime. It is followed in Canada. There are more fantasy leagues. Everyone has a stake in this thing. And as it gets bigger, there are seeds for its destruction, you would think. But there's no evidence that the NFL is destroying itself.
That's the Mark Cuban warning that, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, and beware, NFL, you could get too big. But is there any evidence of that beyond Mark Cuban?
No, there's evidence in the media. I don't believe there's evidence in the public. There's been a lot of media issues that have come up in the offseason, a lot of things to wring your hands about. But at 1 o'clock on Sundays, we know there's a game. And at 4 o'clock, we know there's a game. And I think that symmetry that we've been living by for so many years, although it's increased to now Thursday nights and Sunday nights and the extra games, there seems to be no appetite that's too big for the fan out there.
The NFL is an amazing and probably the best example of anything of how we don't want to know how the sausage gets made. How cognitive dissonance, if you do know how the sausage gets made, just comes to the fore every Sunday. The list of things that you could really kill the NFL over, that should really hurt the NFL. The way they've handled concussions is number one. Even the concussion settlement lawsuit is so full of holes that it's almost monstrous to think it could actually get signed, and it probably will. The way they treat cheerleaders, the way players flaunt the law, the way the league is so greedy that it actually asked recording artists to pay the NFL to appear on the halftime show. Thing after thing. And now they're scrambling to change their drug policy after two high-profile suspensions. And they've already changed their domestic violence regulations, although not as much as people think. This is the greediest, biggest, most colossal, ugly, beautiful league that there is. And every Sunday we watch. And I've got a fantasy team, and I know all this stuff.
And you can bet on it. Betting lines, point spreads. It pulls everybody in. The best thing about the NFL, and where I think it's undercutting itself, is it's event viewing. 17 weeks, once a week, you get to care about your team. And I think by spreading it out over so many days, you're diffusing some of this interest. And that's probably the worst thing that I can say about the NFL, because Bruce has said everything else.
But I think we look at it differently as Canadians, because we tend not to be attached to a team. Like you are, if you're in an NFL city, you're attached to that team. We're attached to the event, as you point out, Michael. And I think unlike any other sport, it may be the only sport that the experience is better in your living room. If you have a big screen, HD television, it is a better experience to stay home and watch football than it is to go to a game, and I don't know any other sport like that.
But I think the NFL fans in Canada do have their own teams, and it's just not a few. Mm-hmm. You can find fans of just about any team. Jacksonville, perhaps, would be a deep, dark search. But it raises the question, when the NFL, and particularly the Buffalo Bills, were kind enough to bring a game a year, and sometimes an exhibition game with it, to Toronto, people shrugged their shoulders. And yet the theory still goes that if the NFL could ever come to Toronto and thus Canada full time, it would be, everything we're saying now, hugely popular.
I think it would, because the appeal of the sport is so massive and it's shown to cross boundaries. When the Bills came, it was a lousy stadium, it was overpriced, it was a lousy team, and it wasn't ours in Toronto. And that all those things together made for a terrible viewing experience. If you had a $1 billion stadium and ample parking and sane tailgating regulations, for example, then you could really create something incredible, I think, in Toronto. I don't doubt that at all, because the NFL is a great game. It's like so many other things in sports. It's like the IOC. It's like FIFA. The people who run the sports are the worst people in sports almost every single time. But they manage to harness the power of those sports, of the Olympics, of the World Cup, of soccer, of football. And that's why they can be the worst people in the world, because it's so appealing. And that's the NFL. If you brought an NFL team to Toronto, it would cost an immense amount of money, and it would be a huge success.
I mean, there's hype in every sport for certain athletes for various reasons. But could an athlete in any other sport in any other league be hyped like Johnny Manziel has been?
No, and that's part of the America and how they view football and how ESPN views football and how football becomes 24/7 discussion all year round. So Johnny Manziel becomes, without playing a game, I mean, if you take the hockey comparison, if Connor McDavid is going to the NHL next year as the number one guy, he will have nothing that compares to the hype that Johnny Manziel has coming into the NFL. And Johnny Manziel may not be able to play.
But that's also a little different. He's actually more analogous to LeBron James, Connor McDavid. But in terms of Johnny Manziel, you got to remember, the second most popular sport in the United States is college football. So these guys aren't just coming from the OHL. These guys are coming from basically the second most popular league in North America.
Yeah, and in Texas, the third most popular sport is spring football. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. This has become a colossus. And this is a relatively recent development. This is the past 40, 50 years, because baseball has ceded its place, and we've all become stakeholders, fantasy football included, in the NFL. It has become the dominant sport on the landscape, so a guy who hasn't thrown an NFL pass like Johnny Manziel can have the number one or number two selling
who
jersey.
Who started that? I mean, did it start with Tim Tebow, or did we go before him?
Oh, Manziel?
No, just the hype that comes to the NFL with a player who winds up being unable to play.
Well, football established itself with the Colts Giants overtime game. And that was the breakthrough moment in 1958. But it has grown since then because Pete Rozelle and subsequent commissioners have harnessed the power of it.
But I think Tebow was the first of the mega hyped, we don't even know if he can play guys. And the way he came out of college and the way he had the magical opening in the NFL. And again, the power of ESPN to create and to talk about.
I would go back to Brian Bosworth. I would go back to a man who was on the cover of Michael's magazine, Tony Mandarich, the Incredible Bulk. Brian Bosworth was a phenomenon. He was in movies. Like, he was
a
thing.
Yeah, but we're talking hype of different
but
levels.
What's happened now is that there are exponentially more powerful platforms the way to really measure the NFL's popularity is that if you look at what it takes to be a top 10 show on network television, if you look 20 years ago and you look now, it used to be you used to have to get so many more people to really matter because there were so many fewer choices. And as the universe of broadcasting has fragmented and as so many more choices have happened and network TV ratings have dropped, the NFL has stayed where it is and, in fact, continues to set records.
You know, the good thing about football, every other sport we know all these guys lately by their first names, right? LeBron and Tiger and Roger. And in football, it's still Favre and Brady and Manning, and Johnny has 10 last names. And I think that's the way it should be. So good for the NFL for that, if no other reason. That's it for TSN The Reporter's podcast. Enjoy your NFL, whether or not it is too much.